Good afternoon. It's time for the gospel meeting again. And I'd like to start by singing number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me. Lord, I was changed since darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding His blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me.
I see many have left already to go home, but you are still here. You know, presenting the gospel, there's many different ways that you can present the gospel. Our first night, we've had a very, I would like to call, a soft gospel. You know, today at breakfast, I won't mention any names, but my daughter-in-law, we were eating breakfast, and we got these egg sandwiches, and she took a bite, and all the yolk ran out all down on the plate. It was a soft egg. And I think the gospel can be explained like cooking eggs. And when you have a soft egg, it's very easy. You can touch it, and the yolk will break, and the yolk will come out. Very soft. And Friday night, we had a soft gospel. And the goodness was flowing out of the gospel. It was a call to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then last night, we had another type of gospel message. And it might be more like scrambled eggs, because you know, you stir up the eggs, you stir them up to perfection, you put many condiments in, and Saturday night we heard a powerful gospel that stirred up our hearts, urging you to be saved. God said in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 4, I'll just read it. He said, "What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it?" I say, what more can I say to plead with you to be saved. It was all said last night. But then we have the gospel presented like a hard-boiled egg. Some of the shells are very tough, and you need to hit them hard with a knife to break them open, or you bang it on the counter to break it off and you peel off the shell. And sometimes the heart becomes hardened from hearing the gospel so often and so many times that the heart develops a hard shell around it that's not easy to crack. And as I present the love of God tonight, today, it is going to come with a hard warning because I really do love you. I really do care about your destiny. And I want to talk today about the wrath of God and the love of God. We are here tonight to share the gospel of Christ crucified. And it was at the cross that the wrath of God met together with the love of God in a battle for your soul. And it was at the cross that the love of God accepted the sin to be put on the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus endured the wrath of God to take the punishment for your sin. Some of you may have heard this message before, and that's okay, because you're going to hear it again. And there are two reasons why Christ was crucified. One was the wrath of God, and the second was the love of God. And I want to start by speaking about the wrath of God against the sinner. And we've heard it said that God hates the sinner. Sorry. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him could be saved. That includes all sinners, whosoever. It includes you. It includes me. After we talk about the wrath of God, I want to talk about the love of God. And as we discuss the wrath of God and the love of God, I want you to get a feel for the experience of the wrath of God, so you will know to appreciate the love of God. And the fact that Jesus took the full force of the wrath of God upon Himself is evidence that the great love, evidence of the great love that Jesus has for you. You know, one day you are going to meet Jesus. And on that day, you will experience firsthand either one of the two, either the wrath of God or the love of God. And it will not be an experience that just happens just that one time, because it's an experience that will be your eternal destiny, and it will never end. Tonight, we pray that you will be ready to meet Jesus. Back in eternity past, God was thinking about sharing His love with people. And the very first people that God put on this earth was Adam and Eve. And God loved them. And He had a fellowship with them. And He came down and visited with them every day. But Adam and Eve, they turned away from God. They turned to their own way. And they disobeyed God. And they did their own will. And forever after that, all people born into this world are the same. They have gone astray, and everybody has turned to his own way. And you are no different. You are selfish. Maybe you don't like to hear that, but you are selfish. And you are going your own way, and your iniquity and your sin is piling up as damnation against you. And your heart and soul is being filled with this iniquity. And you are in danger of the damnation of the lake of fire. And already the wrath of God abides on you. And I warn you today to flee from the wrath to come. God made Adam and Eve in the image of God. And I believe that means that people have a spirit so that we can love God and so that we can have a fellowship with God. Adam was also made in the likeness of God. And I think that might mean that Adam was without sin. God created Adam without sin so that God could have fellowship with Adam. But in the process of time, Adam sinned. And he sinned against God. And he disobeyed God. And at that point, he became a sinner. And sin infected his whole body so that there was nothing good in him. And at that point, sin separated Adam from God. God had to put him out of the garden. I want to read a verse in Genesis 5. In verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Adam had children who were born in his own likeness. I think that means that they were born in the likeness of a sinner, in the likeness of Adam. We are all descendants of Adam, and so we are all born in the likeness of a sinner. And what are we like as sinners? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly. He says, there is none good. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And the thoughts of man were only evil continually. There's some verses in Mark chapter 7 that really explain the wickedness of the heart of man. In Mark chapter 7, and we'll begin with verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Excuse me. You may say, well, I haven't done any of these things, but you know what? It only takes 1 second for our hearts to have a bad thought or to have a moment of lust. And perhaps you don't do the bad thing, but all that wickedness is still in your heart because you are a child of Adam. Verse 23 tells us, it says, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. You were born with this capability of sin in your heart. And this sin has separated you from the love of God. But you say, that's not fair. How can I be born a sinner? I didn't do anything bad. Why should I be condemned already? Why should the wrath of God abide on me? But it is true. It is true. You are lost. Lost in sin because you are born a lost sinner. And as you go through life without God in this world, your days are spent without hope. And you are lost in your sin. You maybe are thinking, lost? I'm not lost. I'm right here. Mom, Dad, they're there. My friends, they're right. I'm not lost. Well, let me explain. Born lost with a parable. You know, there was a nanny goat. A nanny goat is a mother goat. A nanny goat wandered away from the farm and was lost. And it got lost down by the dog food factory. And the owner didn't know where the goat was. And so while the nanny goat was lost, she gave birth to a baby goat. I ask you, was the baby goat lost? That baby goat didn't worry about that. The baby goat was with her mother. And she did not think that she was lost. But yes, the baby goat was born lost. And the baby goat eventually died down by at the dog food factory because it trespassed with the mama goat. And it was lost. You are like the baby goat. You are born lost in sin. And your life is in danger of the wrath of God. No, the baby goat had no one to rescue it. Nobody to rescue it from death. But you are different from that baby goat. The baby goat died and that's the end. But you have a soul. You have a soul that will never die. And with your soul, you have opportunity to be rescued today from the wrath of God. Wrath of God. That would be the righteous judgment of God against the sinner. And we mentioned earlier that God loves the sinner but hates the sin. But let me tell you, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we read that He is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the sinners who reject His offer of love and mercy. There's a verse in Romans chapter 9. Romans 9 verse 22. It tells us, "What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" Well, God is long-suffering, and He is patient with you. He is not willing that you should perish in hell. And while God is waiting and giving you an opportunity to repent, you are busy ignoring God. But as you reject God's offer of salvation, you are fitting yourself. That means you are preparing yourself for destruction in the lake of fire. And you're preparing yourself with your own sin, your own disobedience, your own unbelief, and your refusal to trust in Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians 1, there's another verse. 2 Thessalonians 1. You know, the sinner deserves the punishment that God has prepared for the unbelieving Christ rejectors who ignore the love and the compassion of God. And God describes your punishment in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." The flaming fire taking vengeance. That is the lake of fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you do not know, if you do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will experience the everlasting flames of hell. I want to read a story, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." Verse 23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. I tell you that there is no comfort in the fires of hell. The wrath of God will burn against you forever and ever, and there will be no reprieve. There will be no end of the torment. You are a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction by your own rejection of the Lord Jesus. I travel to Africa often, and I was in Goma, Democratic Republic of Congo. Goma's on the far western border of Congo. And on some of the clear nights, I can look out over Mount Nyiragongo and see in the sky the red glow of the Lake of Fire. And on the top of Mount Nyiragongo is a lava lake. Lava is liquid or molten rock. And the lake is about 200 meters across. And if you were to climb to the top, you could look down almost half a mile deep down into this pit and see a bubbling, boiling, roiling, smoking, steaming, glowing lake of liquid rock. It is truly a lake of fire. And it's always there. The melting temperature of the rocks is more than 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And the rock is so hot, it melts into a fiery lake. In May 2021, the side of Mount Nyiragongo split from too much pressure building up inside. And the fire and the brimstone flowed down the mountain. And there are 17 villages destroyed. There are 400,000 people that were evacuated and displaced, running for their life in fear and terror. And more than 30 people did not make it. The lake of fire flowed down the mountain, melting houses and animals and people. And there's one lady, I think her name was Ernestine. And she stayed with her invalid husband as long as she could. Her husband could not walk away. And the lava flowed closer and closer to the house and became very hot. And the sulfur made it hard for them to breathe. And at the last moment, Ernestine had to run while the river of lava consumed her house and her husband. And the screaming of the people who could not get out of the way of the lava flow was heard in the terror of the night. I have in my hand a piece of hell. This was part of that lake of fire that flowed down the mountain in a river of fire near the city of Goma. And when the lava flows down the mountain and it cools, it turns into a lava rock, just like this one. I warn you today, the torment of the lake of fire will never cool down and turn into rocks. Your suffering will never stop in the lake of fire. And as the rich man looked across the ravine, he saw Lazarus over on the other side. The rich man was in torment in the flames of hell. And I would guess Lazarus could see the rich man in the midst of the flames of hell. As the rich man pleaded for relief, but there is no relief in hell. And hell is forever. And you have no hope of ever getting out. Hell is the wrath of God against the sinner. And the wrath is the righteous judgment that you deserve because you are a sinner. And up to now, you have refused to submit your life to Jesus as Lord. And you have not believed on Jesus. You have not trusted Him as your Savior. Jesus loves you. And He does not want you to suffer in this way. He wants to save you from the judgment. But you need to trust Him. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2, it says in verse 4, "You have despised the riches of God's goodness and His forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance." Verse 5, "But after your hard and unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." As you go through life, despising the goodness of God and refusing to be sorry about the things that you have done, you are causing God to become angrier with you. And He will punish you even more on that day of judgment. And on that day, you will find out how angry God really is with you. It doesn't have to be that way. But the Bible says the wrath of God abides on you. The Bible says you are condemned already. You will be bound hand and foot. You'll be thrown with force into the screaming terror of the lake of fire as you wail in hopeless despair. You will know that you made a big mistake when you look back on today. When you did not get to know God. And you ignored Jesus Christ. And you did not believe. You will find out that God does get angry with the sinner. And you'll find out when you are judged on that day and cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, it's where selfish people go. You did not want God. You lived for yourself in this world. And so you will be cast into the lake of fire by yourself. That is who you lived for all your life. You lived for yourself. Now you must spend eternity with yourself. You won't have any friends to go with you. They'll be in their own compartment of hell. You will suffer from loneliness. And you will find nobody who cares. Hell is hopeless. Hell is endless. It's eternal damnation. It's alone. Hell is alone in the darkness. And hell is your eternal destiny. But there is good news. There is good news. God has made a way of escape from the wrath of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The love of God was ready to endure the wrath of God that was coming against you at the cross. The Lord Jesus took it all because He loves you. Will you accept the love of God? The wrath of God being against you is not the heart of God. We never read in the Bible that God is wrath. No. God is love. God is not willing that you should perish. And it was the love of God who planned that you would hear the message of the gospel of God's love tonight. It was the love of God that made Jesus take the wrath of God upon Himself so that you, the sinner, you could escape the wrath of God. But this love cost God so much. When we consider how big the wrath of God is and how bad the wrath of God is against the unbelieving sinner, it amazes us to find out that God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And God took all the wrath and the punishment and the terror that was meant for me and poured it all out on His Son, Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how big the love of God is when we understand, when we begin to understand how big the wrath of God is and how bad the punishment of sin is and how fearful the terror is. And we begin to understand, like that hymn that we sometimes sing. It says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair, I believe that's Adam and Eve representing you and me. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' eternal song. It amazes me again to find out that the Son of God loved me so much that He gave Himself to die for me the sinner, when He knew how big the wrath of God was and how bad the punishment was and how fearful the terror that would fall on Him, how bad that was when He was crucified on the shameful cross. But Jesus could say to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. I have come to do your will, O God. And so Christ died for our sins. And He was buried. And praise God, on the third day He rose from the dead. And the angel could say, He is not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. He is alive. Jesus is alive. And Jesus is a man tonight living in heaven, waiting for you to come. He says, come unto me. I have blessing for you. I have forgiveness for you. I want to share my love with you. He wants to give you eternal life. Again, it amazes me to find out that the love of God is everlasting. Everlasting, that means that there was no time in eternity past when God did not love me and plan for me to be His child. It's an everlasting love. And even though Jesus knew that it would cost Him His life, Jesus was willing. We read that verse, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commended His love toward us. Or we could say He approved the demonstration of His love for us, because the Lord Jesus demonstrated to us the love of God. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The everlasting love of God. It wants to give you the life of God. That is, He offers you everlasting life. Again, I will quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have everlasting life now, tonight. It's not something you get when you get to the gates of heaven. No, it's something you have now. It's something you can never lose. The Lord Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. And so you can have assurance that you have eternal life. And you can know that you will never lose your eternal life. You are safe in the hands of Jesus, and no one can snatch you out of His hands. You are safe in the hands of the Father. You have double security in the hands of Jesus and in the hands of the Father. And no one's going to get you out. Satan himself can't get you out. You can't get yourself out. And your friends can't take you out. You are safe in the arms of Jesus. What incredible love the Lord Jesus has for you, and God wants to give you that life. You don't need to remain lost. The love of God is so big that it can conquer sin and death and the wrath of God. You can be rescued today. You have opportunity now to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Believe in Him. Trust Him. He will save you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you have time for Jesus? Do you want Jesus? Will you accept His love? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I want to sing in closing. Number one, Almost Persuaded. Another verse to that hymn. I will quote it. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost but lost. Just like the baby goat, lost.